The changing legal landscape for managed service providers is happening all around us. How will that impact MSPs and their customers? That's the question we'll talk about on today's MSP Zone.
You are entering the MSP Zone, a podcast for the managed services community, covering news, analysis, and interviews from around the globe. Elevate your MSP game by staying in the MSP Zone. And now, your host, Charles Weaver.
Hey everybody, welcome to the MSP Zone. We are joined yet again by our friend Rob Scott, who's joining us from the great state of Texas, and we are going to have a fascinating conversation that involves a lot of legal concepts and public policy concepts, but I assure you it's going to be a fascinating conversation because what we're going to be doing is giving a very simple, easy to understand framework, if you want to call it that, for all the legislative communities, bodies, individuals out there right now writing laws that impact directly or indirectly managed service providers and their customers. We're talking to them specifically, as well as to you in the MSP professional community. And we're going to be talking about what recommendation, what advice, what lessons learned that we have learned in the MSP community and giving that on to those legislators. Rob, it's a big task, but I think we're up to it. What do you say?
I'm ready when you are, Charles. Always up for the challenge.
All right. Let's do a little bit of laying some groundwork for those uninitiated or those who haven't been following closely some of the more, and I'll admit it, some of the a bit drier material out there, you know, relating to the laws that have been passed over the last maybe 5-10 years, and talking about some of the more frequent, recent, cyber attacks and the movement that we're seeing at the state level, federal level, and internationally, trying to make sense of and protect organizations, companies, against cyber attacks. So let's just dive right in. GDPR, for those of you who don't know, is the European Union legal framework that was passed some years ago and has now been in effect for a couple of years, I think, Rob. What would you describe GDPR as, just for the casual layperson?
GDPR is a comprehensive privacy regulation, similar to what we have in the United States in connection with HIPAA, related to healthcare records, and GLBA, related to financial records. What makes GDPR so interesting and relevant is the breadth of its reach, the breadth and broadness of how it defines protected data, and the number of activities that it defines as being processing and therefore subject to the regulation. And it's very comprehensive and broad, and it applies to way more people in the United States than I think realized. And it also contains a private right of action, which is something rarely seen in U.S. privacy laws. But there is a private right of action such that if an individual claims to have been aggrieved by a failure to comply with GDPR, they can bring a lawsuit, you know, on their own behalf against a particular company. And I don't think it's that much of a stretch to say that one of the main motivations that the European Union had in passing GDPR was what it perceived to be a privacy threat emanating from large public cloud vendors in the United States, most particularly Google and Facebook. And not surprisingly, shortly after this legislation went into effect, those lawsuits went forward and significant fines were levied against both companies. So that's in a nutshell, GDPR, and it's quite a sweeping and comprehensive set of regulations that are, you know, very disruptive and impactful from a regulatory compliance cost perspective.
Yeah. So it had an impact, obviously, for European MSPs and customers. It did have an impact, probably more than we realized, perhaps, on U.S. and Canadian MSPs who had customers or touch points in Europe. Did it catch you by surprise how many non-European, like meaning Canadian and U.S. MSPs, actually found themselves embroiled in asking questions related to GDPR, or were you expecting that?
Originally, I think you know, Charles, one of the first discussions I had about GDPR was with Nikolai. And this was 5 years ago. And he was saying, Rob, you know, you really need to be on the lookout for this. You know, it's going to be coming, and I think it's going to have some significant implications. And I looked at him like he was crazy. Like, why do I care about some European privacy law? And so it didn't come as a surprise to me, because I had been, as we frequently are, privileged on the MSP Alliance board to be, you know, way ahead of the curve in terms of what's going on a global basis. I was, you know, had a 3-year warning, but I would tell you that I was surprised to learn that what impact it would have. And I ultimately believed, and I ultimately think this is what happened, that the GDPR was going to be another checklist item for contracting, like HIPAA and GLBA. If there's EU data involved, you need a data processing agreement, and you do your data processing agreement, risk management and due diligence and records of processing and other compliance things that you have to do and require your vendor to do. And ultimately it becomes a checklist item for people. And we've seen some of that. And then others have said, you know what? I'm not going to fool with GDPR. I'm going to put in my contracts, I don't process EU data. If you ask me to process EU data, you need to get a data processing agreement for me first. And if you ask me to process it without doing that and I get in trouble, you have to indemnify me and hold me harmless. And so we've got two directions that we've guided our clients in on GDPR. One of, okay, we're going to offer services under GDPR. We're going to have a data processing agreement. We're going to have a GDPR compliance program. I understand the MSP Alliance can verify people who are working toward GDPR compliance through the GDPR Verify program. And so you got the direction of, you know, embracing it and using it as a competitive advantage, or you've got the direction of saying, I don't embrace it, I'm not going to fool with it. And if anybody asks me to, anybody has me doing it without my knowledge and something happens, they're going to have to, under the contract, cover those costs. So there's really, you kind of a fork in the road here. Do you want to go and be compliant and be able to offer it, or do you want to, you know, stay away from it and not have the risk? And it, you know, it's a business decision that everybody has to make.
Let's accept that as what current practice has been, and I think that that's a very sound approach. It seems like, however, that with increasing number of legislative bodies acting in a somewhat similar, not identical always, but somewhat similar direction as GDPR, that the ability to say, I'm not going to process this type of data, whatever that type of data may be, is going to, over time, gradually, you know, chip away at the ability of the MSP to actually do any real work, right? I mean, and at some point, we're going to have to maybe face this more head on as a concept, which seems to be leading into the next issue, if you agree with that, of third party supply chain vendors, which have been under attack. You know, MSP supply chain vendors have been under attack. And what is the correlation between that and the principle behind that and the principle set up by GDPR for those third parties, which I think they call data sub-processors, basically, or processors.
Sub-processors.
Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so what I think what you're asking is, you know, how do all these things relate to each other? And I think that one thing that MSPs have to face is there's a need for transparency in terms of who they're doing business with and what tools, services, solutions they're bringing to the table that have the ability to implicate a client's privacy risk. And I just don't think whether you do it in the form of a sub-processor disclosure or what the MSP Alliance is recommending, the use of third-party service provider lists where there's full disclosure of every third-party service provider that's going to be used in the course of the engagement. I think regardless of whether you look at it as a regulatory compliance approach or a risk management approach or a go-to-market approach, transparency is the future.
So I accept that. I like transparency. We've been a big fan here at the MSP Alliance, as you know, Rob, and you have as well, for transparency. Maximum transparency, as long as it doesn't impact safety, right? Transparency doesn't mean foolishness with information that could be used to the detriment of the MSP or their customers. But let's take a high-level look and paint the picture now. For those legislators, because I know we have some legislators who listen to this program from time to time, and I think that number is increasing because there's a lot of people now writing laws that impact directly or indirectly MSPs. You've got the United Kingdom, who is now officially broken away from the EU, and they are publicly saying, at least from news accounts that we read, that they're not favoring sticking with GDPR. They're wanting to come up with their own framework. As states and countries like the UK begin to look at themselves and say, okay, we need to act, and we need to act in the best interest of our citizenry, what is the distinction between what GDPR did and the outcome of, like, every time you get an email from Google, it seems like they're saying, hey, Google is updating its sub-processors, and we're adding a new vendor who's going to do this. He's going to have access to this type of your data and do this with your data. Do we want to go down that road, or is there a better route that the UK government or the state governments here in the US ought to be taking? And what's your guidance there?
You know, my take on it is, first and foremost, you have to be thinking about where are the holes in the market mechanism. And, you know, for me, it's hard to see, you know, where the market mechanism is failing. I think that one of the areas that all privacy regulations share is they want to bind all of the service providers, regardless of where they are in the chain, to the principles of privacy and data protection that are embodied in the rule. And so these, whether you call them processors or sub-processors or business associates, you have to define who it is that's within the universe of suppliers that are regulated. And it usually comes down to permitted access. You know, those that should be regulated are those that pose the greatest risk to privacy of data. And then that's, you know, the big thing. With GDPR, basically everything is protected data and every activity is processing. I think that's way too broad.
Now, explain why that is, because you mentioned something that I don't know if a lot of MSPs, or non-MSPs for that matter, know or think about, which is the privacy principle being applied is being applied equally to all the parties. In my opinion, the privacy principle is often at the smaller and medium-sized business level, an organizational level, is often not being applied at all. Not because their MSP isn't telling them they should, but because the organization itself is saying, I don't want to do that. I don't want to pay for that. Is that an issue that we need to address?
Yeah. So let's say you got a client that clearly, you know, you're an MSP, you got a client that clearly is doing business in Europe. They happen to be in the United States. They should be dealing with GDPR. They're not. They're required to enter into a data processing agreement with the MSP, but they don't want to. What do? You can't take that customer.
It's too risky.
I tell my clients, you can't have that customer.
So explain, because I think that the concept of GDPR or the perception of GDPR by a lot of MSPs has been, it's overly bureaucratic. It is way too complicated. And their concern has been that coming here, the rule that we are advocating, and I agree, it's not a market failure, but it's an area where we can just generally improve to stop the exploit caused by the current ransomware crime spree that seems to be taking place. What is the distinction, in your words, Rob, between the GDPR sub-processor or processor disclosure and the general transparency rule that we at the MSP Alliance have been advocating for some years? Because it is important, and assuming there is one, what would you say that it is?
I would say the biggest difference is legal responsibility. Under GDPR, the primary processor remains legally responsible for the activity of the sub-processor.
In the case of the MSP, who's what? Is the MSP the processor there?
The MSP, and for this example, the MSP is the processor, and the tools vendor is the sub-processor.
Okay.
Okay? In that scenario, under GDPR, the processor / MSP remains legally responsible to the end user customer, the controller, for the activities of the sub-processor.
So Kaseya and SolarWinds in Europe would have been off the hook.
Yeah, that structure is contrary to my view of how managed services are delivered in the U.S.
Well,
in the U.S., the MSP is a trusted advisor. They may contract on the customer's behalf for tools and solutions. They may bring tools and solutions to the table, but they're not the insurer or the legally responsible party for everything that happens with every vendor in the technology stack that the customer is using, that they're managing. They are a service provider. They're responsible to exercise due care, and they should be held to pay for negligent acts or omissions that cause injuries by their people, but shouldn't be held to be responsible for failures of tools or negligent acts of other people in the supply chain.
Rob, when you say it, it sounds so normal. It sounds so reasonable. Why wouldn't a legislative body take that model and use that as the prototype?
Well, they may not be at all interested in apportioning risk among the providers. Their focus is going to be on consumer protection. Oh. So legislatures most likely looking at privacy regulation care little about who has to pay between the MSP and the service provider, the vendor. Yep. They care about protecting the voter, the citizen, the individuals whose privacy rights are affected. In the case of ransomware, they have a concern about privacy and protection of end users and businesses, and they also have a law enforcement, you know, concern. These are crimes that need to be reported and investigated, and they don't want, you know, people willy-nilly, you know, paying ransom to people and not reporting them. So, you know, the reason they would choose that, you know, a different approach or not take this into consideration, Charles, would be that it's not their focus. The focus is likely on a consumer protection angle that could cause them, if they're not careful, to wade into the risk apportionment among providers, which I would caution should be not regulated.
Well,
that should be a market driven outcome.
Maybe that's a topic and a question for the next episode when you're on. But I think that if the legislative entities are contemplating the safety and general welfare of their citizenry, including their corporations and organizations, from things such as cyber attacks and ransomware attacks, there is no public safety discussion without involving the MSP. In my opinion, meaning that you can't separate from that public policy welfare, public welfare discussion, the role of the MSP in modern day IT management, because, and especially at the smaller levels, it's very much fused together.
Okay, and so then I'm going to want to pass a law, and I'm going to want to make it to where this law applies to every business in my state and all of their service providers. Just the same, all these other regulations, you know, reach into the provider community to bind the service provider. I mean, that's the model of privacy regulation.
So I guess, Rob, to kind of summarize all this, in maybe it's just my view, maybe others share it, but in the GDPR model, the disclosure of third-party sub-processors, let's call them, maybe alternatively you can call them vendors, supply chain vendors, is making it more like, is more exposure for the service provider, because, or the same exposure, because they still have to bear the brunt of responsibility and liability to their customer, the controller, under the GDPR model. Under the model we're suggesting is disclosure and transparency of those third-party supply chain vendors, i.e. sub-processors in GDPR speak. It's not to hang the same level of risk around the neck of the MSP. It's actually to lessen it. Did I get that right?
Yeah, because what we're doing is more than just a listing of providers. We're also saying, and by the way, here's the terms of the end user license agreement or other applicable terms that will govern your rights and in certain cases limit them. And we actually list and provide links to every agreement that will govern the use. And many of those have limitations of liability and exculpation clauses that say under what circumstances the vendor will pay, which frequently is very limited. Mm-hmm. But what we're saying is if an MSP is going to want to limit its liability for conduct performed by third parties that it engages, then there has to be a greater level of transparency to the customer, not only who those vendors are, but what the terms and conditions are that will affect their rights. And the customer has to, you know, in the same way that a contract would be formed, you know, knowing, there has to be a meeting of the minds. They have to have they have to know that they're giving up a right. And by providing a detailed listing of who they are, providing links to the contracts that they could review, and requiring the customer when they sign up for managed services to acknowledge that their rights will be limited by those agreements. Now you have something that if the customer has an incident and the MSP wants to get out, and the vendor is going to be sued too, Now you go to court and there's a very clean path for who is responsible for what. And if I'm a regulator, I want to regulate for that level of disclosure transparency if it's necessary, which I could make an argument that no further laws would be required. But if it's necessary, then I'm in favor of the transparency requirement because I think it's good for everybody. And if I'm going to regulate in this area, I'm going to focus on making sure that everybody knows what they're getting into up front and that everybody is responsible for complying with basic, you know, procedural and administrative. I mean, all of these laws have the same underlying core, which is we need systems and policies designed to protect customer data.
Well, I think that I like your approach because it does give maximum transparency to the public, to the consumer of managed services. I agree it completely, maybe not eliminates, but greatly reduces the need for legislative bodies to act overly in exaggerated ways. I mean, maybe still they have to act. I think they do need to act on ransomware process, right? Can you and should you make ransomware payments? In what manner should you make them? If you do make them, disclosure of any payments that were made. I think those things are legitimate open areas that are largely silent from the law.
I totally agree with that, by the way, because there's a legitimate law enforcement issue there. And if people are just paying willy-nilly and not involving law enforcement, then basically we're thwarting the ability of law enforcement to eradicate this kind of crime.
Yeah.
So I think those kinds of rules are very important. I also think, you know, there are rules that say you can't participate in helping someone pay a ransom.
It seems kind of sleazy, doesn't it? I mean, when you think about it, it's you're almost.
Here's my issue. How would you know that the one that was facilitating in any given case was or was not participating with the criminals?
Because they're in such close proximity. They have to be in close proximity to them in order to effectuate the transfer of the payment.
At some point, they're going to be in communications with them. We don't know when.
Yeah.
We know that they have a relationship with the customer. But how do we know which of the MSPs with customers affected are part of the scheme or not?
Yeah, that's a good point.
If you allow them to facilitate.
Okay. So to summarize all this for those of you who are saying, okay, tell us, Rob and Charles, what do we need to know? Well, depending on where you practice, where your company resides and where your customers reside, I think that the order of the day as an MSP on planet Earth, you should adopt the transparent model of listing your service provider vendors. We'll call them third-party vendors, supply chain vendors. If you're in Europe, that means a sub-processor. If you're elsewhere, you may call them vendors, you may call them something else. But we're talking about the supply chain vendors you use to deliver your managed services. Maximum transparency, as Rob said, is the rule of the day and is more likely than not, depending on where you're operating in the world, to give you flexibility and options when it comes to protecting yourself and your customers. And dare I say, giving your customers a fair amount of protection legally against disruption and negative outcomes caused through no fault of the customer or the MSP, but a downstream supply chain vendor. Is that anything to add to that, Rob, that summary?
And that transparency needs to be documented in the customer agreements. But other than that, I think you nailed it.
Right. We're not talking just about sending out an email or listing something on the website. We're talking about incorporating it into the legal agreement so that it has the binding effect of your managed services document.
Correct. And what we're recommending to clients is a schedule of third-party service providers that becomes an attachment to the master services agreement.
Well, I can't help but think that this is a very good recipe for maximum disclosure and maximum transparency to the consumer of managed services. That always has to be a good thing, especially in today's this day and age of cybercrime, ransomware running rampant. I like those. And if you're a legislator right now, that has to be a very simple, elegant way to go about drafting your next piece of legislation, I would think. Anyway, Rob, thank you for coming on to the MSP Zone. As always, your insight and expertise is always a welcome a contribution to the show. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Charlie. It's my pleasure.
If you have questions on what you heard today, if you want to contribute and join in the conversation, we'd love to hear from you. Send us an email at mspzone@mspalliance.com. We will read it on the air. We'll maybe even have you on the show as a guest if you want to join Rob and myself. Until next time, be safe, and we'll see you in the next MSP Zone.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, please give us a like. Make sure you are subscribed to the podcast so you will get notified when future episodes are released. We will see you next time in the MSP Zone.